What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of Down to the Wire, Mason. March Madness is over here in April, and UConn back-to-back. Did you watch a lot of the tournament?
Yeah, I actually did. I watched a good bit of it. Obviously, I was locked in on Alabama making their first Final Four appearance in program history. I was super excited about that. Honestly, I never really thought it was going to happen for me. So the fact that it did was really cool. But yeah, man, UConn is just insane. They were on another level the entire tournament. Didn't even win a game by less than single digits the entire round. So the fact that they did what they did was super impressive. Dan Hurley looking for a new paycheck this year, especially with Coach Cal not being at Kentucky anymore. He's probably going to get a bump just because of that. But yeah, man, this tournament was a lot of fun. My bracket took a hit the entire time, unfortunately. Maybe I'll bounce back next year, but who knows?
Listen, I think we just need to follow the advice of some of the girls in our lives because they're the ones that seem 100%. To win every single year. You know, and, you know, it's whatever. Whatever. It's fine. So, it's fine.
My family, we do like a bracket challenge thing together, obviously, and my mom won it this year. And I was talking to her, and I was like, Mom, like, tell me your secrets. Like, my bracket was terrible this year, so I need you to tell me why yours was so good. And she was like, oh, I really don't know. I just kind of guessed through the whole way. And I was like, you know what? Don't tell me anymore, please. I don't want to know anything else. Maybe I just need to start just blindly picking teams at this point.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. I still somehow do that. Especially this year, and it just didn't go well. So, you know, it is what it is. The West Coast teams are what kill me because I'm like, oh, they'll be able to do it this year, and then they just always choke. So it's fine.
But this year was so stupid because it's like Tennessee always flails out in the middle of the tournament, but they made it to the Elite Eight. Purdue always gets beat in the early round. They made it all the way to the championship, and it's just so many stupid things like that happen this year. My problem is I'm always terrible at picking upsets. I can never actually pick the upsets. So the upsets that I do try and pick in my bracket, they never hit. And it always kills me. So maybe I just need to figure something else out.
Maybe you just need to just close your eyes and just pick. Maybe that's the way. Yeah. So Mason, special edition, the NFL draft is happening at the end of the month here in April. Obviously, we're big college guys. We don't dig in a lot to NFL here on the podcast. But, you know, both of us are fantasy football guys. You've won all of your leagues, I think, this past year is what you said, including the one that you and I are in. So, you know, whatever. But with that, it at least gives us a little bit of knowledge. And I think it'd be fun for us to do our own mock draft. This is going to be our full mock draft. We're not just doing fantasy. Doing a full mock draft. And how this is going to work, guys, is if you're listening on audio, it might be a good idea to scroll over or get over to Rumble. It'll be linked in the description of the podcast if you're listening on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your podcast. We're going to have video showing the mock draft as we're going through it. Mason is going to be picking all of the odd number picks, and I will be picking all of the even number picks. And trades are also allowed. So could be a little crazy. Obviously, I look at mock drafts. I don't know about you, Mason. I look at some mock drafts of some stuff that people put together as a job. And I'm like, what is this guy thinking? There's no way that the Chiefs are going to trade up into the top 15 just to draft Xavier Worthy. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you see all this crazy nonsense. But so you know what? How hard could it be? I think we can do this. I think it's a fun way for you and I to maybe kind of do a little bit of competition with one another as we're making our picks. But also obviously we're working together on this too, because we want this hopefully to look pretty nice and pretty comparable to what happens on draft night. We're doing just the first round. So we're not doing a multiple round, just the first round for 32 picks. So we'll get going here in just a second. So Mason, are you excited for this?
Oh yeah, I'm actually very excited. Just about every year, I try and do a mock draft of my own, see how it pans out for myself. So in fact, we're doing this together, talking through with each other. I'm excited for it. And I will say, before we started the show, you did agree to chug a beer for every single one that you got right. So just keep that in mind.
That I got right?
Yep.
Okay.
All your picks. Okay. Every pick that you get correct, you're going to chug a beer.
Well, it might be
glad
zero.
Glad you agreed to that.
I totally agreed to that. Yes. Obviously, as you can see on my face and my question. So, you know what, Mason? Let's go ahead and get started. We are using NFL Draft Buzz. It's free to do trades as opposed to PFF. Not sponsored, by the way. But if you're looking to do one,
sponsor.
Hey, if you want to sponsor us, guys, hit me up. Totally for it. So we're going to go ahead and get the draft started here. And of course, the number one pick belongs to the Chicago Bears. Mason, you are on the clock, sir.
There is absolutely no reason to talk this through. On my end, I know you're a hater of Caleb Williams, but obviously I'm not. So I'm taking Caleb Williams number one. I think he's going to be great for the Bears. I think it's going to be pretty cool to see the Bears actually have a franchise quarterback for once. I couldn't even tell
Jay
you
Cutler?
Who the best quarterback. Yeah, that's a little questionable. Let's be real. He's the best quarterback of our generation, I guess. But come on. If that's what you're working with, then I don't know what to tell you.
Chicago but is the place that Caleb quarterbacks Williams. Go to die, Mason. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, you had Justin Fields. It didn't work out.
Yeah. But I will say this for Caleb Williams, though. He's coming into a great situation in a sense where he does have a lot of weapons around him. They already had DJ Moore. They brought in DeAndre Swift. They gave him a nice little paycheck in free agency. But they also turned around and traded for Keenan Allen, too. So when you're surrounding him with two really good wide receivers and a solid running back, that's probably the best situation that you're going to be able to come into as a number one pick. So I do think he'll have a good year next year. I don't know how many games they'll win. I wouldn't expect it to be a ton, but I do think he'll be able to put up some solid numbers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think that Caleb Williams is going to succeed in the NFL, but he is going to a much better situation in Chicago with the weapons that he's going to get. I mean, he has Cole Kmet at tight end. He has DeAndre Swift, who just came in at running back. And then you have your wide receiver duo, maybe trio at the towards the later half of the top 10. But you have, at least have a good duo of Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, at least to start off with. I mean, Keenan Allen, who knows if he's even there next year or whatever his contract situation looks like. But to start off with, you're obviously the guy. They obviously brought in talent. We'll see how the offensive line is, but he has everything there for him to succeed. And so if he doesn't, I don't think he will, but if he doesn't, then he was the bust of all busts. I mean, it won't be Jamarcus level, Jamarcus Russell level bust. Probably it's kind of hard to beat that, but it's not good. And you know, the curse of quarterbacks in Chicago will continue, but Caleb Williams is the obvious number one pick. Nobody's even denying it. There was maybe a little bit of conversation of maybe it could be one of the other two, kind of maybe in the early process after the college football season. And then that just kind of like died. I don't know. So Caleb Williams going to Chicago. Now I'm on the clock, Mason. Pick number two, the Washington Commanders. This is another spot that needs a quarterback. And depending on the mock draft you look at, it's Caleb Williams, or not Caleb Williams. It's either Jaden Daniels or Drake May. So it seems like, who do you like more? Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator there, which is kind of weird to say. He's the offensive coordinator there. And so who do you like better? I'm obviously going to go the homer pick. I think Jaden Daniels, I think, will fit a little bit better in what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do on offense, and it gives them an explosiveness there. I think Drake May has just been a little too inconsistent the past couple of years in college. You expected this huge jump last year in production. You didn't really see it. You didn't really see that Heisman candidacy maybe come through. The accuracy kind of wasn't fully there. I'm also kind of weary on the North Carolina quarterbacks at this point with the past couple years of quarterbacks, past couple of times quarterbacks have been drafted from there since Mac Brown has been back in town. And I just think he's just a better fit than Drake May. Am I wrong on that? What are your thoughts?
I wouldn't say you're wrong. I agree that Jaden Daniels seems to be a better fit in Washington than he would in New England, and especially a better fit than what Drake May would probably be in Washington also. I just really like the upside of Drake May a lot more than I do with Jaden Daniels. I think what you saw out of him this year was kind of, I don't want to say peak Jaden Daniels, but if you're getting that Jaden Daniels on a consistent level, then you're going to be pretty happy. But I do think there's going to be a little fallback from him in the pros. Also, I never realized how skinny he was until his weight came out from the combine, and he was what, 210 at the combine, maybe 205, something like that. But the thing about Drake May to me is the stuff that he struggled with in college, specifically with his inconsistency, his accuracy wasn't there and stuff like that. Like, to me, if you turn back time a little bit and you look at what you were Justin Herbert was when he was coming out of college, it was the same thing. That was the stuff that he struggled with. Go back a little bit further. Josh Allen, same thing. They both struggled with their consistency. Their teams weren't great, and they were struggling with accuracy too. And so I think, in my mind, Drake May is kind of cut from the same cloth as those dudes. So I think he can come in and have a really big impact on whichever team he goes to. But that's not to say Jaden Daniels can't turn around and turn into Lamar Jackson that can actually throw. So the upside, I think, probably favors – man – the upside probably favors Jaden Daniels a little bit, especially with the running. But I think you're going to get more consistency at a high level out of Drake May in the pros.
So maybe a higher floor for Drake May, higher ceiling for Jaden Daniels is what you would think, maybe what you consider. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels at pick number two going to Washington. So next you have New England at number three. I think this is maybe a candidate for certain teams to maybe trade up to, because New England needs a lot. Drafting a quarterback here obviously is kind of the go-to thing that you see in a lot of mock drafts. Is that maybe the smartest thing for them to do? I don't know. It's your pick. Give me some of your thoughts on who you like at three with New England.
So when we first mentioned this, this was definitely one of the areas where I was like, all right, I could see a trade happening here. The thing is, man, in the NFL, dude, you got to find your quarterback. And I'm sitting here talking about how I think Drake May can be a really high level quarterback. So I don't think you can pass on somebody like that. New England, they do need a lot, but they desperately need a quarterback. Like, obviously, the Mac Jones experience didn't work. You can say what you want to say about that. Obviously, he was playing under Bill O'Brien as his offensive coordinator. You know I hate Bill O'Brien. We won't get much deeper into that. But he also had no weapons around him. So it's just like it's a double-edged sword almost. Like, yes, New England needs a quarterback, but who's he going to be throwing to? So they've got Kendrick a lot Bourne. That they're going to have to figure out. Yeah, Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas, you pick one. They're all no names. but I just think – if you're at pick three, what are you trading back to, man? Like, are you going to go back to 11 with Minnesota? Possibly. But, I mean, at that point, you're still kind of in the same ballpark of, like, hey, we need a quarterback, but maybe we could get one of these better edge rushers, maybe an offensive tackle, whatever. But I just think if you're New England, you got to grab your quarterback now, and then you figure out the rest later, because you're going to have a decent amount of cap space opening up. So maybe you can find some guys through free agency next year, also through the draft next year. And if Drake May is what I think he's going to be, then guys are going to want to come in and play with him. So if I'm New England, I hold on to the pick and I go with Drake May.
Yeah, I think the realistic trade option here is going to be Minnesota. So Patriots make a trade with Minnesota. They're looking at moving down to 11 and probably as well as getting 23, as long as probably another pick, late pick maybe, or maybe a pick swap or something. But when you're talking first round, move from 3 down to 11, as well as gaining 23, that's going to depend. I think the trade here depends on where you grade Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, if you think he might be there. How do you grade them? Do you think one of them will be there at either 11 or at 23 to maybe – pick them there and, you know, pick, you know, maybe hopefully pick them at 23, whichever one of those two, Penix or Knicks and then maybe draft best player available at 11 would maybe make the most sense for them. But yeah, I totally understand definitely needing quarterback. They just have a lot of work to do, and it starts with the draft, but the quarterback class next year doesn't look great. So I totally understand taking quarterback here at 3 when you can. So Drake May being the pick of going to New England. All right. I am next on the board for Arizona. This is another team that I think these next couple picks are teams that are popular of trading down. Cardinals would be one. We have the Chargers coming up, and even New York maybe. You see a lot of picks of mocks of either they're either picking Marvin Harrison Jr. or they just find way too much value in trading down with somebody. I can definitely see them just sticking to their guns and picking Marvin Harrison Jr. to stick with Kyler Murray. They also have the 27th pick in round one that they got from Houston already. So they do at least have another first round pick to maybe pick best player available to help them maybe with maybe one of the own linemen drops down. Maybe they get a defensive lineman, something like that, maybe a corner to match with Patrick Surtain. But there's a couple options here. I think the trade options of moving down is either going to be Minnesota, could be Denver, or maybe Las Vegas. But I think the other two are maybe a little bit more likely if they were to trade down. What do you think? I think the one that makes the most sense is Minnesota. So you're at 11 with Minnesota. Do you think they should move up and do everything they can to get to 4? Or do you think they trade up maybe at 5 with it's not San Diego, with the Chargers?
So that's where I was about to go with it. I think if I'm Arizona, the one thing that you were really, really missing last year was a huge playmaker on the outside. Now, Hollywood Brown, he was fine, but he's not that type of dude. So in my mind, if I'm Arizona, I'm very focused on taking a wide receiver here, whether it's Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. So I definitely go with that if I'm Arizona. And looking, if I'm Minnesota, I'm trying to trade up to 5 because I think the Chargers are going to be a lot more willing to move back than the Cardinals are. And I think it just makes a little more sense because you're probably going to be able to get the 5th pick a tiny bit cheaper than you are the 4th pick. And I just think if I'm Arizona, you got to kind of find that wide receiver that you've been looking for since Larry Fitzgerald retired. So if you can combine him, whichever wide receiver you take here, and still have Kyler, and you still have James Conner, I think you're going to be fine if you're Arizona. But you got to kind of find your guy that you're giving your fans some hope, basically, is what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that the plan for them, if they did trade down with Minnesota, is hoping that Rome Odunze is still there at 11. And I think that's who the pick is. Or maybe trade down and then maybe trade back up to get a spot closer maybe to pick Odunze. But I'm going to go with the conventional wisdom of going ahead and picking Marvin Harrison Jr. He's been mocked there for months and months and months, only with the recent news of Minnesota. With their trade, has that come up? So now we're down to pick number 5 with the Chargers and your boy Jim Harbaugh in charge now. What are the Chargers to do?
I do think they trade the pick. So I'm officially bringing in our first trade of the draft.
Trade of the draft. What do we got, Mason?
And it is going to be for the hot team that we've just been talking about with Minnesota. Now, the question is that I have for you, are we doing 1-5 for 111 and 123, or are we just saying 111 and a future pick of Minnesota's?
Yeah, so I don't think we need to select your draft pick. I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure all this thing out real quick.
Because that's my problem that I'm having is I don't really I couldn't gauge a good interest on what NFL trades actually would be.
I think in our case, we're just going to worry about what first gets sent in our case, just because I don't know what else. I think for them to move up for 5, I think they definitely had to give up 11 and 23 to get up to 5.
So you want to say?
So I'd say at least 11, 23 to get up to 5.
All right, cool. So in doing that, now we have Minnesota picking in the 5th pick. Obviously they need a quarterback. They've been flirting real hard with JJ McCarthy. That is what it is. McCarthy is really weird to me because he didn't show a ton in college, but he also didn't necessarily have to. But he did show up in the big spots. So you got to give him his credit where it's due. And he's been rising up draft boards the entire offseason and leading up to the draft. So I think they will do everything that they can to trade up to an early draft pick. Right now I have them trading up to 5 to take JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, and that's the only pick that makes sense for Minnesota moving all the way up to 5 is JJ McCarthy. So JJ going to Minnesota, pairing up with Jay Jets up there, which is sorely needed. Next is the Giants. You know, I think it's been really interesting. I've seen mocks, like a couple mocks of the Giants picking a quarterback or trading up to pick a quarterback. I've seen a few. Some of them I've laughed at, like picking Michael Penix at 6. But I think it's real interesting to maybe see what the temp is on them and Danny Dimes, since they just signed him last year, even though he got hurt. But I think the obvious pick here is best player available. Now, is that best player available going to be Malik Nabers, or is it going to be Joe Alt? I think that's really the decision that they're going to come down to on this. But I don't think Malik falls out. I think Malik is going to go to New York at 6.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'd be pretty shocked if they did take a quarterback. They do, being realistic, they do need one. Danny Dimes isn't great. But they did just sign him, like you were talking about. So they're kind of pot committed to him. It'd be a little shocking to see them have that much money invested into him while also blowing the 6th pick on a quarterback. So yeah, I agree. I think they go Nabers.
Yeah, I think it's if there was another quarterback, or if they could trade up maybe, or if McCarthy is still there, I could see them maybe taking McCarthy. But I just don't think that. I don't think it's smart and wise to waste the capital of the 6th pick on Michael Penix or Bo Nix, because that's who you're going to be left with. And I don't 100%. Think you, I don't think you'd believe in them any more than what you believe in Danny Dimes. So yeah, Malik Nabers at 6. And now we're going over to Nash Vegas, the Titans at pick 7. They've had a good free agency, Mason. They just picked up Calvin Ridley in a trade, right? No, that's free agency. And then they got somebody else. Who else did they get?
Tony Pollard,
that's right, and free agency. So Tennessee, pick number 7, who do you like?
You made this one pretty easy for me. Look, Tennessee, they need a tackle. You got the best tackle still on the board. Joe Alt from Notre Dame, he's a great player. Like you said, they just paid up and got 2 big offensive weapons to pair with Will Levis. So it seems like they're going to be riding the Will Levis train for a couple years. So obviously you've got to be able to find some line help to be able to protect your quarterback, also help your run game. So yeah, this one's pretty easy pick for me. I go Joe Alt.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. If he's there, they're taking him. There's no questions about Joe Alt going to Tennessee at 7. All right, next we're going to Atlanta. They've also had a fun offseason. They signed Kirk Cousins, no longer need a quarterback. So that's always nice for them. Hopefully Kirk Cousins' recovery of the Achilles is going okay and he's good to go opening night. And the thought here is going to be edge rusher. And it's who do you like? They're going to pick the first edge rusher off the board. So who is that? Do you like Latu with his questionable medicals? From UCLA, do you like Jared Verse? Do you like Dallas Turner? I think those are your 3 options there. And I've, a lot of people are leaning Dallas Turner. I really like Jared Verse, but I do think that they're going to go and end up with Dallas Turner here at 8. I can't see them trading out. I can't see them picking anything else other than Edge unless Malik is there. Maybe Rome Odunze, maybe, but I think they'd much rather, with their defensive-minded coach and already how much draft capital they have spent the past couple of years on offense, I think they spend eight on defense and go Edge with Dallas Turner.
I think this would have been that one would have been a much more interesting pick if Dallas Turner didn't come out and just destroy his pro day in the combine. Like, he had a great combine, so I think that really shot him up and kind of solidified him at eight. But I do agree with you, Jared Verse is a great player too, so that would have been a lot more interesting if Dallas wouldn't have come out and did what he did at his pro day. So I agree with you on that one. So now what?
Now we're at number nine with Chicago. Chicago again. And I might know where you're going with this one. So, but we'll see. What do you like Chicago doing at nine after picking their franchise quarterback?
So this one is interesting to me because Chicago, like we just talked about, they did just trade for Keenan Allen. You still have DJ Moore. So you still have, you have two really good wide receivers. The problem is, with Chicago, they still need an edge rusher. And like you said, Jared Verse is still on the board there. So the problem becomes, how long do you think Keenan Allen is still going to be playing? Do you think he's kind of in it for another 3 or 4 years or whatever? Do you want to pair a younger wide receiver with Caleb Williams and kind of grow that for the next 10 years? Or do you kind of want to commit to an edge? I think if I'm Chicago, I do go ahead and take Rome Odunze right here, and that way you can be building that connection with your number one overall pick and a guy who is arguably equally as good as the top two wide receivers that were taken in this draft. If we're being honest, if this is any previous years, Rome Odunze is probably taken as the number one wide receiver. So I would have taken him over JSN last year, probably would have taken him over Drake London the year before that. So yeah, I think if I'm Chicago, I go Rome Odunze, and I feel really good about pairing those two together.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, and that's what a lot of people are thinking as well. The Jared Verse thought is interesting. I think the thing that makes you point more to Odunze has to do with, hey, they just signed Montez Sweat to a deal in the trade that they made with the Commanders last year midseason. So I think that kind of helps them. I totally see them going both offense and going with Odunze as well as potentially the best player available there. Any thoughts, though, on maybe a Brock Bowers pick here?
With Chicago?
Yeah, with Chicago.
I don't think so, no. I really like – Cole Kmet's not going to knock your socks off or anything, but he is a really solid tight end. So I think committing to that – I would much rather put more stock into Rome Odunze or Jared Verse in that situation than going with Brock Bowers. It's just so shaky with first-round tight ends, if we're being honest. I mean, Kyle Pitts was drafted at, what, 5? And he's had one good season so far. And then you kind of look back, David Njoku, he was a first-round tight end. He didn't start popping off until this year. And I think this is his sixth year in the league or something like that. Same thing with Evan Engram. He was another first-round tight end. OJ Howard, he was a first-round tight end. And, I mean, none of those guys have really done anything super crazy. So I think if you're looking at it, if I'm running a franchise, I don't necessarily look into taking a tight end in the first round, or at least in the top 10, especially when you have a guy like Cole Kmet, who is a serviceable and really solid tight end. So, yeah, I don't think I would go that direction if I was them.
All right, so the pick for you is Rome Odunze going to Chicago with Caleb Williams. And now we're going to the Jets. You would have asked me who I'm picking with the Jets before free agency. I would have been like, dude, they're taking O-line. There's no reason why they wouldn't take O-line. And then they made some moves and shored up the O-line a little bit for Aaron Rodgers. I think this is an interesting spot. I still think you can go O-line and go with Fashanu from Penn State. Brock Bowers could be there. Maybe you go Brock Bowers. If Odunze was there, that's an automatic pick for Odunze. Their defense is in a pretty good spot. I am going to go best player available at this position and probably go Brock Bowers to the Jets as I don't think they, after they spent the money and spent the time on up shoring up the offensive line, that they pick offensive line here. I don't see them picking any edge players, and I don't see them picking a quarterback here either. So I'm going to go Brock Bowers, I think best player available at 10 for the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, I just went on my whole spiel about tight ends. So, but the thing about it is I do feel like he fits better in New York than he would have Chicago. Obviously, New York, they're going to need weapons to put around Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you have Garrett Wilson. You also just signed Mike Williams. So you got two solid wide receivers. I think putting a guy like Brock Bowers in the middle of both of them, who's going to be able to kind of eat up the short area and the middle of the field, I think it's going to open up those two a good bit. And honestly, he'll be a good safety blanket for Aaron Rodgers. So I like it.
All right. So now after the trade with Minnesota, the Chargers are now picking at 11. The LA Chargers at 11. They also owned the 23rd pick. So they gained a pick as they traded down in our mock. So now what do you like for Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers here at 11?
I think the big thing for them in this draft is how, like, where do you go answering the questions that you're going to need for your offense? Obviously, Jim Harbaugh is a hard-nosed, I love running the football, I'm going to run the football no matter what type of guy. So do you want to go offensive line? But if you're looking at offensive line, you also have to realize your wide receivers are kind of trash right now. Quentin Johnston had a terrible year last year. Yes, he was a rookie, but he struggled with all types of crazy drops. So you're basically looking at Quentin Johnston and Joshua Palmer as your one and two right now on the outside. So do you take best wide receiver available right now, which is Brian Thomas Jr., or do you go offensive line and just hope that you're able to get somebody like Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell with that 23rd pick? I think if I'm them, I do go offensive line and I take the guy out of Penn State, Fashuanu, whose name I do not know how to say. So that was a lucky shot in the dark. I don't know if I got it right or not. So we'll just roll with it. But I do go offensive line because I think that's going to fit Jim Harbaugh's system a little bit better than taking a wide receiver at 11. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the wide receivers that are left there at 11, and if Brock Bowers maybe falls down, maybe you draft him, even though you might have Everett. But just to get a weapon on the offensive side, maybe pick Brock Bowers at 11. If he falls there, maybe you take him. And I think just him being a great blocker as well fits what Jim Harbaugh wants. You know, I think that kind of makes sense if he's there at 11. But yeah, I mean, I just don't think that they'll see enough value in the wide receivers left to pick him at 11. So I definitely think they go offensive line and maybe hope that Brian Thomas falls down to 23, or, you know, they'll be able to pick one of the other guys. It's a deep wide receiver class. So maybe even they wait till another round to pick a wide receiver. I don't know. But yeah, I totally agree with you with picking Fashanu from Penn State at 11. And now I think this is where it starts to get really interesting. I think kind of the first 10, 11 picks were maybe a little easy for us, Mason. And then now we're getting into this kind of mid first round, like early mid first round area where there's a lot of needs for this teams that are coming up. And you can go in a lot of different directions. And it starts here at 12 with Denver. They need everything. They need a lot. They need a quarterback. They need edge. They need wide receivers. I mean, they need everything. They are not in a good spot after losing Russell Wilson. I don't know how comfortable I am picking Michael Penix at 12. I don't like Bo Nix. I don't like Bo Nix at all. I'm just going to tell it right now. I think he is a waste of a first round pick of whoever picks him.
To me, all right, so let me throw this at you. Ahead. If you're Denver right now, do you look at trading back? One team I would kind of look at is Seattle at 16. They need an edge rusher. Jared Verse is still on the board at 12. Is that somebody that you could trade back to and be sitting at 16 and feel a little bit more comfortable taking Michael Penix?
Maybe. I think it just depends on what you get in the return. I don't think you're getting another first in return, obviously, for that. So it'll be a later round pick, maybe a second, maybe a third. I think that, man, the problem with Denver is that, kind of like you said, they just don't have a ton of draft capital is their problem.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to pick quarterback, I think it would make sense maybe to trade back to 16, but I honestly think they'll just go ahead and pull the trigger and just pick Michael Penix at 12. I think Sean Payton is willing to gamble on it and go with Penix at 12. The other team that needs a quarterback, in my opinion, no matter what they did in the offseason, is a team right behind them in LA or Las Vegas. So if I'm Sean Payton, I don't feel like gambling on the Raiders passing on Penix. Because I just, like, maybe he's maybe more comfortable with Bo Nix, and I'm just not. But I just don't see him as a viable option, and I'm not willing for the Broncos to trade back and hope and pray that LA, or I keep calling them LA, that the Raiders want to would pick Penix, because I think they absolutely would if he's there. So I'm going to go Michael Penix. Any other thoughts?
No, I have no other thoughts on that one. I'm a Michael Penix guy, so
I like Penix.
Definitely over Bo Nix too.
Yes. All right.
The scary thing about Penix though is his injury history. I've been kind of wondering how far down that'll push him in the draft. But dude, after watching his game against Texas, bro, that just changed everything for him. He was throwing darts on them like that, and I just think that had NFL scouts just absolutely salivating at the mouth.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure think that as well. All right. Next is Las Vegas, the Raiders, Mason. What do the Raiders do?
This is definitely a tough one because they're kind of in the same boat as Denver. They need a quarterback, also need offensive line, also really need a corner. So I'm not a Bo Nix guy either. We're in the same boat on that one. I would not touch him at all in the first round. I think if I'm Las Vegas, though, I do try and lock up another corner. Terrion Arnold is still on the board. I know they really like him. So I do think I rock with Terrion right here. After he had a great season playing at Alabama, I think he's kind of hard to pass on if you're Las Vegas. Obviously, man, they can go 10 different directions and feel good about it, but I think I go with Terrion right here.
Yeah, I like the pick with Terrion at 13, whichever. I think it's crazy, man. Like, whenever we came in, and maybe this is just me being ignorant, but whenever we came into the season of college football last year, it was Cooley McKinstry is the guy. And then Terrion Arnold is 100%. Just the opposite guy. And then the season's over, and we're looking at mocks and everything, and Terrion Arnold is the top corner on the board. Like, I think it's crazy how much a season really changes for them. Yeah, I mean, I like Terrion.
Well, if you remember, the year before that, he got benched for Eli Ricks. Like, Terrion was terrible 2 years ago. And then coming into this year, he was the guy that everybody was going to pick on because, like you were saying, Kool-Aid was the guy on the other side of the field. But, I mean, it was like every game he was making play after play after play and just locking dudes up. So, I mean, he shot up draft boards. I can't sit here and say I saw it coming because I definitely didn't. But, I mean, he was awesome all year. So, like, I think being picked right around mid-teens, low to mid-teens is a perfect spot for him.
Yep. So, all right. Terrion Arnold going to Las Vegas. Hopefully he doesn't follow former Crimson Tide player that will not be named his decision-making process in Las Vegas. So I'll just leave it at that for you, Mason.
Thanks. All right.
Next, we have my New Orleans Saints, Mason. Oh, boy. They're in cap hell right now. They tried to do win now for so long with Drew Brees, and then it fell off the rails, and then they kind of tried to keep it together after Sean Payton left, and it's been horrible. The offensive line is falling apart, and I think there's no way they don't pick offensive line here. So it's who do you like best at offensive line if you're in New Orleans? Do you like J.C. Latham? Do you like Falga from Oregon State? Do you like Faltanu from Washington? Amarius Mims? I mean, there's a lot of people here. I've seen a lot of Falga picked before Latham. So I'm actually going to go with the Oregon State product offensive tackle because they have to have a left tackle. The guy they drafted a year or two ago didn't work out. Pete could not even be playing next year because of his knees. So they definitely go offensive line here, and I'm going with Falga from Oregon State.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue that pick, really. They need a ton of help. Derek Carr. It felt like Derek Carr was running for his life half the time last year, and then but he also didn't have many people to throw it to. It felt like it was like only Olave and Rashid Shaheed, because Michael Thomas was like falling off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, no arguments on this side after that one.
All right, next up, I think this is an interesting one. You got the Colts. Anthony Richardson coming back healthy finally. They made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. They're at pick number 15. Just re-signed Michael Pittman to a deal. They dealt Zach Moss off. He signed. It was free agency, I believe. He signed. Still got Jonathan Taylor. Like I said, AR-15 comes back. What do you like at 15 for the Colts?
So here's my problem with the Colts right now. They desperately need a corner. And the thing is, you've still got four really good corners on the board right now. You still have Kool-Aid, still have Nate Wiggins from Clemson, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, probably the first white corner ever drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Dude's out here repping, I guess. And you still have the corner from Toledo, Quinyon Mitchell. So there's a lot of good options still on the board. That's why I do think that Indy is a trade-back team also. I just talked about how I think Seattle is going to need an edge rusher. They're picking at 16. But the team I've got my eye on right now for Indy and trading back for is actually the Los Angeles Rams. They did just lose Aaron Donald. He ended up retiring this year. So I think the Rams are going to be very intent on finding a replacement for him. Luckily for them right now in our draft, Jared Verse is still on the board. So I think if I'm them, I do look into trading back with the Rams. Let me get it pulled up. So it'd be 115 for 119 and then something in the future. So then I would right now have the Los Angeles Rams selecting at 15. And I do have them taking Jared Verse at 15.
All right, so we got another trade on the board. The Rams moving up, the Colts moving back, and the Rams picking Jared Verse. Man, I was really hoping that he would be here for the Seahawks on my next pick, because that's exactly who I was about to pick. Was going to be Jared Verse. But yeah, that totally makes sense. I can totally see that for sure. I see them either trading up or see them picking DB there, but totally get it. So going Jared Verse with the trade to the Rams. All right, next up, the guy I wanted for Seattle, no longer there. They're at pit 16. They need some offensive line help. They need some edge help. They're pretty good on skill player positions. This is an interesting spot, because this could be a spot that maybe Latu from UCLA goes to, but is going to be completely dependent on his medicals. And it's kind of the same thing that we were talking about somebody earlier in the draft, right? Michael Penix, you know, it depends on how his medicals are, how they feel about it. I think he's a great spot there for the Seahawks. You know, let me pull up something. I don't think they are in position really to maybe trade back. I'm not entirely sure. There's the option of maybe Jackson Powers Johnson, the Oregon center, if they maybe need somebody interior. Maybe they go with a safety. But I think what they're actually going to do is I think they're okay or will be okay with maybe the medicals of Latu, because they just need an edge. And I think they're going – because they play – don't they play in the same division as the Chiefs or no? Who do they play in the same division as? The Seahawks.
No, they're in the NFC.
So who do they play in division with?
I'm having a brain fart. Oh, they're in the Rams division, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I am having a massive brain fart on this one right now.
I I'll be able to look it up for you in just a second as I'm using powerful Google here on my computer. They're in the NFC West.
Arizona and Niners, San Francisco.
Yeah, so Niners, Rams, and Cardinals. I think they just need a pass rusher in that division to kind of help with the defensive side, since you're going up against the Niners, you're going up against the Cardinals, who are obviously loading up on offense, and then the Rams, just to kind of keep up. So I think they'll pick Latu. Any other thoughts on Seattle?
No, I mean, I definitely agree with the pick, but yeah, I mean, it all just comes down to those medicals, man. The medicals are such a sketchy thing, because it could always scare a team off and the dude could fall down to the second round, or maybe they just suck it up and go with it. But yeah, I agree with that. I think they still go with Latu.
All right, next up, Sunshine, Jacksonville Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence started off strong and then fell off a cliff this past year. They need some help on the defensive side of the ball, maybe something on the offensive line. Jacksonville, what do you like at pick 17?
So the thing about Jacksonville is they did just lose Calvin Ridley. You still have Christian Kirk, but you did just bring in Gabe Davis also. So it's really kind of about, how do you feel about those two? How do you feel about having Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis as your two go-to wide receivers for Trevor Lawrence? Do you kind of take the shot on Brian Thomas right now? I don't know if I do that if I'm them. Because, I mean, you did just pay Gabe Davis. So it kind of it's kind of weird to kind of commit yourself to a selection like Brian Thomas Jr. right now, even though I do think he has a higher ceiling than what you're going to get out of those two guys. But you do have needs otherwhere, specifically at corner. This is another team that I was looking at that needs a cornerback. So I do think that they go ahead and take whichever corner they have ranked higher between Mitchell, DeJon, Wiggins, and Kool-Aid. I personally obviously have Kool-Aid, but I don't know where they're going to feel about that stuff. He does have a Lisfranc injury on his foot right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if they went with the kid out of Toledo. So that's where I lean right now. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Can definitely see that one. Next is also another interesting pick. It's my fighting Joe Burrows, the Cincinnati Bengals. They made some moves, made a move for an offensive tackle. Man, their defense didn't look great last year. I'm really
interested to see where you go here.
I think some of the conventional wisdom is maybe you still go offensive line here. Maybe you go J.C. Latham. Maybe you go with Troy Fautanu. If one of the other offensive linemen were still there, one of the two that were already picked, I wouldn't have been surprised if they saw Falga still there and pick him, or if somehow Finashu is still there, they pick him. I wouldn't be surprised if they drop that they pick there. Here, I don't know how they feel about J.C. Latham. I don't know if they would want him. He did struggle a little bit at the beginning of the year at Bama with pass protection, which is obviously a big deal. Their defensive line, their depth on their defense was super tested. It was basically non-existent last year. So I really wouldn't be surprised if they take the first defensive lineman off the board here. Now, who do you like better? Do you like Jerzon Newton? He's been dealing with an injury all this whole process. Or do you like Byron Murphy out of Texas? Will be the two. I think also another place that they need to look at is DB. I think it's a huge area of need for them. I wouldn't be surprised if it went there, but DB is a little bit of a deeper class this year. There's also the thought of, hey, maybe you pick Brian Thomas here in this position. Maybe go ahead and draft a replacement for T. Higgins. I don't think they're going to reach that far up, and I think T. Higgins plays in Cincy this year. I know he's requested for a trade, but I think he's going to play anyways. And Cincy, I don't see them making a trade unless they make a big blockbuster trade on draft night. I don't see it. So I am actually going to go defensive line here, and I'm going to pick Byron Murphy for the Bengals. I think this is also another spot of maybe they trade down. So maybe there's a trade down option here for some value. But I think they're going to go Byron Murphy here.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going to go with this one, because I agree with you. I did feel like they needed D-line the most, but also you know, you have your whole LSU thing, okay? I was wondering if you were wanting to pair Brian Thomas up with Joe Burrow, especially with T. Higgins wanting out this year. It would just be him, Ja'Marr Chase, Brian Thomas Jr. Seems a lot of fun
for my LSU love. It would be great to see, but I think the real interesting thing here is maybe a trade down, or if they're just going to go ahead and throw the money and throw their picks at protecting Joe Burrow at all costs and picking Latham. I think those are your two options.
I think they should. I think they really need to protect Burrow too.
It just depends on how comfortable they are with the pieces they have. And yeah. I wouldn't be mad at a pick of JC Latham, maybe a Troy Fontanu, because of how versatile he is. And maybe you pick JC Latham maybe to play guard this year, maybe, and to grow into maybe a tackle role. But I think with the free agency pickup they had at tackle, I think that makes me believe that maybe they're going to go another route at 18. And I just think D-line just makes the most sense more than wide receiver and really anywhere else. I think the only other option I think is maybe DB, but I think they probably find more value that later in the draft. So I think they're going to go Byron Murphy. So that's where we're going.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, down to number 19, we got the Colts in a trade. They traded down, and so now they're up. We talked about DB earlier. Do you think they still stick with DB? Maybe go with Nate Wiggins or Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, or do they go somewhere else?
Yep, so that's the whole reason I thought they would trade back, because like I said at the time, there were still four really good corners left on the board, and only one of them went. And honestly, Indianapolis feels like a perfect spot for the first ever white quarterback cornerback ever taken in first round. So I'm rocking with Cooper DeJean here. He just feels like he's meant to be an Indianapolis Colt.
All right, Cooper DeJean going off the board at number 19. And now we're down to the Steelers. They also need a lot.
Yeah.
Do they go offensive line here, or do they go DB? And because they don't really have any DBs on contract besides Joey Porter Jr. from last year that they picked up. So I think it's real interesting. They need an interior lineman. So I think this is a super popular pick for the Oregon center. But I think they're going to – it's so rare that you see a center drafted first round. Yeah. And I think they maybe find value later in the draft of maybe another guy. So I think that they're going to go DB, and I'm going to have them go with Kool-Aid McKinstry at DB here at 20.
Okay.
All right.
Do you think they would have any interest in going with Brian Thomas Jr. right now? Because, I mean, we're at pick 20. Brian Thomas is probably slotted to as, what, 15 or 16th best player in the draft, something around that area. So he's technically slipping a little bit. They did just trade Deontay Johnson, so now you're really kind of just stuck with George Pickens, and who else is Russell Wilson going to throw to? You know what I mean? So is that an area where you could see Brian Thomas going to, or do you think he falls a little bit further?
I think he's going to continue to fall some, just because I just think there are bigger needs in the teams coming up than wide receiver. I just think that the Steelers and their DB situation especially is so desperate for help there that I just can't see them spending the pick on a wideout. I think part of that is to kind of go along with that. There are some other players that are falling as well. It's not just him. I mean, you got JC Latham, who's still available. You got Nate Wiggins, you got Jerzon Newton, depending on who you're looking at, has him highly rated and as a top 15 prospect. So you still got guys around here, at least on the system that we're using. Brian Thomas's rank is at 28. So he's still not, he still has maybe a little bit to go based on these rankings, but obviously, you know, you got the Duke, Graham Barton, you got Amarius Mims, you got a lot of offensive linemen that are kind of grouped up here that haven't come off the board yet. And I just don't see if the Steelers are going to make a pick, it's either going to be at line or it's going to be corner. And I think there's too much value for one of these top two corners that are left to risk it and later in the draft. So. We're at 21 now, which is the Miami Dolphins. They were super popular in the talk of the league with their offense and all the yards and all the points early in the year, and then fell off and just couldn't get it done against Buffalo. So maybe they need an offensive tackle because Armstead just can't stay healthy. They need maybe some help on defense. Wasn't a great defense last year. What do you like for Miami here?
Yeah, their problem right now is on both sides of the ball in the trenches. They desperately need some offensive line help, but they also really need some defensive line help too, because they did just lose Raekwon Davis and Christian Wilkins, which there's two guys up in the middle. So at this point, it's like, where do you go on the trenches, man? Like, do you go with Fontana from Washington as to help out your offensive line? Same thing with J.C. Latham. Do you go with one of those two, or do you go with Jerzon Newton? It's really just kind of a pick your poison type of situation. I think if I'm them, I go and I try and protect the product a little bit. Obviously, your offense is what's getting you put in these situations. So I think if you're them, you got to find a way to protect Tua a little bit better. With Tua, when he has time to throw the ball, he throws darts, dude. He's a very accurate quarterback. He gets the ball to the spots where it needs to be. And the two guys on the outside for them with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, those dudes can make plays out of anything. So I think if you're Miami, you got to really kind of focus on the offensive line. But I also would not blame them at all with going for the Newton out of Illinois. But if I'm them, I'm going with J.C. Latham. Start him off at guard, like you were talking about earlier. Work him into being an offensive tackle. He's not going to be a tackle right off the bat. So I think if you plug him in at guard, he's going to be able to kind of help. And who knows, maybe if he is halfway through the season, you can move him out to right tackle or left tackle. He was playing right tackle in college. So I think if I'm them, I go with JC.
Yeah, I agree with you definitely on line. And I definitely agree offensive line there for Miami. Let's go on to pick number 22 for Philly. And this is another spot where I see people's mock drafts and I'm like, what the heck are you thinking? When you see wide receivers taken here, there's no reason they should be drafting wide receiver. They need help on defense. They need corners and safeties because their pass defense was shredded last year. And so I think they're going to go with best defensive back available. And I think at this point it's going to be Nate Wiggins. So I'm going to go Nate Wiggins to Philly.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. No argument on this side. One thing I did think that could be interesting was obviously Jason Kelce did just retire for them, so they do have an opening at center. Do they try and take the shot on the kid from Oregon? I don't think so. I think, like you were saying, with one of the earlier teams, you're going to be able to find better value in the middle to late rounds for a center. So I think they do wait on that also. But yeah, no, I completely agree with you. They desperately need a corner.
All right, next we're back to the Chargers from their trade with the Vikings. We got the Chargers at 23. The last pick in the first round, they picked offensive line and Fashanu. What do the Chargers pick here at number 23, Mason?
So we traded back from 5 to, because at that point, I would have taken Malik Nabers for them at 5. Traded back to 11. We were able to capitalize and get an offensive tackle there, kind of help ourselves out a little bit. But at that time, I was still considering taking a wide receiver. Luckily, the wide receiver I was considering is still on the board. So for them, I do address that need and take Brian Thomas Jr. right there. And coming out of this draft, if I'm them and I'm able to get those two guys, I feel great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great pick, and it ends up working out if this is how it ends up, that you get a really good wide receiver who's electric. The only other option I think that you maybe pick here is maybe defensive line. But yeah, I do like Brian Thomas here at 23 with the Chargers. So there's only one other spot that I like Brian Thomas, or really like Brian Thomas at, a little bit later in the draft. Too bad he's not there. But yeah, totally get Brian Thomas, get a weapon for Herbert to hopefully become the wide receiver one there in LA. So next we go to the Cowboys, who have been gutted in free agency.
Yeah.
Their offensive line gutted, no longer have their running back. Do they need help on defense? Do they need help on offensive line? I think this is an obvious pick of offensive line. And I think you go with the kid from, I think the two options for them is going to be the kid for Washington or the kid in Duke, just because of the versatility of both those players. But I think they're going to go with the kid from Washington, of Fatanu, there for the Cowboys. They have to have replacements for offensive line and allows Tyron Smith to move from guard to tackle, I think, at this point. So that's where I'm going is a kid from Washington.
Nice. Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah. It's kind of funny seeing the Cowboys not spend any money in free agency. It feels very unlike them.
It feels really weird. Feels really weird. So next we go down to pick number 25, the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love and the boys make the playoffs, beat the Cowboys, and come up a little bit short against whoever they played. They played the 49ers, right, when they lost. So what do you think is in store for Green Bay? Got a lot of value on the board, got a lot of good players. Maybe they go offensive line after losing another tackle. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing for them, man, is they need offensive line. I don't really see another direction that I would go if I were them. There are still some really good offensive linemen left on the board. Like we said, kid from Oregon, and you just mentioned him, the guy from Duke, as the two inside linemen. But if I'm them, I try and find my replacement at left tackle. Bakhtiari was an all-pro for 10-something years for them. So I do think you got to find that replacement. If I'm them, I do go with Armarius Mims from Georgia. He's a very athletic lineman. I don't remember what he ran in the 40, but it was something crazy. But if I'm them, that's where I go. Try and keep a little bit of athleticism on your offensive line while you're still being able to protect Jordan Love.
Yeah, totally see that. And I agree. I definitely think they need a replacement there. I think the option there is Amarius Mims or Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, but I like the Mims pick there. The only thing that you might want to be concerned about is Mims has been the availability for him, but I do understand the pick there for sure. Next, we go to Tampa. They're basically running it back on offense at the skill player position, it seems like. And they lost Shaq Barrett in the free agency. So I think they're going to go edge here. And I think this is where Chop Robinson, the kid from Penn State, is going to go. So I'm going to go Chop Robinson at 26 to Tampa. I think if Brian Thomas is there, I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Thomas is the pick at 26. But I do like them maybe going edge, trying to replace Shaq Barrett there and get an edge rusher in the bad NFC South.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, next up, another trade down that happened. Or no, this was a trade that happened already. We got the Arizona Cardinals picking at 27 that they got from the Texans. The Cardinals already picked Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top of the draft. So now maybe you can look at some of their other needs. You still got Jerzon Newton at D-line. That's highly rated there. Again, the only reason he's falling, I think, this far is the medical and being hurt. This whole process with his foot, I believe. But what do you like at Arizona?
Yeah, I feel like Arizona is pretty solid on the offensive line, so I don't think you really need to go there. One other area I would look at if I was them was cornerback, but obviously the five corners that are kind of towards the top of the draft, they didn't fall to this area. So if I'm them, I do focus on defense, I do focus on D-line, and I go with Jerzon Newton in this one.
Yeah, if one of the DBs drops, I think that's the pick. Obviously, they didn't. I don't know how comfortable you are with Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri. I don't know if you really want a safety in Tyler Newbin. Not a huge believer in Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. So, yeah, I totally get going defense and going best player available on defense and Jazar Newton trying to help that defensive front. All right, and now the Bills. This was my favorite pick for Brian Thomas. It has been for a long time, and even more so since what's-his-face, Stephon Diggs left. So now where do you look? Do you go offense? Do you go defensive edge? I think the two needs that they really need to pick on is going to be edge rusher and wide receiver, because you lost your two big boys on offense at wide receiver. You pick up Curtis Samuel, and you have Kincaid. But you lose Gabe Davis, and you lose in a trade Stephon Diggs. What did you think of that trade, by the way, for Stephon Diggs? Did you like that? Just seemed like crazy. Hardly any return for him, but I mean, he is old.
Well, I was about to say that's one of those trades where it's surface level. You're sitting there like, God, this is a terrible trade. But then you really start thinking about it with how old he is, and his contract at the time was insane. So I don't know if you really want to be paying Stephon Diggs that type of money into his 30s. So I didn't hate it. If you're a Bills fan, obviously you wish you got more out of Stephon Diggs in a deal like that, but I did think it was funny that the Texans immediately restructured his contract to basically be a 1-year deal. So, but I mean, hey, dude, Texans are up right now, for being honest.
Crazy.
CJ Stroud throwing to Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins. And they also picked up Joe Mixon in the offseason too. So that offense is going to be fun, dude. And coming off of winning their division, that's exciting.
It's pretty exciting. So now for the Bills, I think they have to go wide receiver here. Like, have
100%.
They absolutely have to go wide receiver here. And with Brian Thomas off the board, you have your pick. Do you like A.D. Mitchell better? Do you like Troy Franklin better? Who do you like at the wide receiver spot at this pick? You've seen some mocks with Keon Coleman. I just don't think that Keon Coleman really fits there. So I'm going to go with A.D. Mitchell. He's a type that maybe kind of replaces Stephon Diggs in that kind of role. So I'm going to go A.D. Mitchell to Buffalo.
Yeah, I think for me at that pick, it kind of comes down to A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. I do lean A.D. Mitchell in that one because I do feel like he fits a better role for the Bills than what Xavier Worthy does. To me, Xavier Worthy, he's like a deep threat type of guy. A.D. Mitchell can kind of do a little bit more of everything. So yeah, I agree with it completely on that pick.
All right, next up, we got the Detroit Lions. I think that maybe this is a team that could have been eligible to trade up for maybe a corner because they desperately need secondary help. But they stayed put here at 29, but they just need help on defense, I think. So Detroit at 29, they were the darling, I think, of the NFL last year, especially in the playoffs as everybody was pulling for them. What do you like for Detroit doing here at 29?
And this is a tough one for Detroit. Like you said, it would have been good for them to trade up and get one of the cornerbacks. They do need a lot of defensive help. They could go any direction, whether they want to go edge, corner, D-line. I really have no clue what I would do with them if I was them. Honestly, I would kind of consider trading back into the second round and maybe kind of collecting a couple more assets on top of it. But for the sake of our draft, I would probably pair Darius Robinson out of Missouri out there with God, his name just absolutely escaped
Aiden Hutchinson
from Michigan. Aiden Hutchinson, there we go. Mr. Lightning Bolt across his face. So I would probably go there, kind of solidify your two edge rushers and kind of live with what you got there. Also, I don't think it would be a bad idea for them to try to trade back a little bit because then you're kind of looking at an area where you can kind of go with Ennis Rakestraw or you can kind of go with the guy from Georgia as well. So.
Yeah, I like the pick of Darius Robinson here if you had to make a pick here. Strictly for the flexibility options because he both played end and inside for Missouri and is for however many years he was there. So he can play edge, he can play inside. And so I think that flexibility will really help him. So I do like the pick of Darius Robinson. I think if they want to be aggressive in a trade, I think they would be super aggressive in moving up once they see maybe a run on some of the corners happening. But for our pick, we got Darius Robinson, and now we're going to the Ravens. The Ravens are real interesting here. I could see them going with another skill position, maybe going wide receiver here. I could see them maybe going defensive tackle, maybe cornerback. I mean, there's not a cornerback here that you like unless you like a safety. So at this pick, I actually really like wide receiver for them to kind of – I mean, OBJ is gone. And maybe it's pair up with Flowers, keep giving them weapons. You just got Derrick Henry, so I think a good kind of maybe deep threat could be good. It just depends on who you like here. I mean, this is where you're getting into the wide receiver room where everything is getting really bunched up together. And so it's like, hey, do you like Xavier Werther? Do you like Keon Coleman? Do you like Troy Franklin? I don't know, man. I think this is going to be one of the hardest picks in the draft here, depending on where everybody is at. I think – I don't know what to think, actually. I really don't. I don't know who to pick. I mean, maybe they could even go offensive line after losing one of their offensive linemen. I'm going to go Troy Franklin, I think. Here, I think it's pretty early for him, but I like Troy. I like Troy Franklin better than Xavier Worthy. I like him better than Keon Coleman. I don't see Ladd McConkey or Xavier Leggett or Roman Wilson jumping up. So I think Troy Franklin. I think there's always that one surprise player that gets picked in the draft kind of higher than everybody expects, and I think Troy Franklin might be that guy.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I mean, I'm not the biggest Troy Franklin guy. If it was me, I would have gone with Xavier Worthy. Obviously, I've talked about him a little bit ago, but I think he would pair well. Why am I forgetting names all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Who's the other wide receiver there?
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers, there it is. It's getting late, man. Okay, it's almost 10 o'clock. But yeah, I think he would fit better with Zay Flowers if you had Xavier Worthy on the other side. But at the same time, it's just like it's really hard to kind of pinpoint and put a wide receiver with Lamar Jackson, as harsh as that to say, because as great as Lamar is, his downfall is kind of his passing game, unfortunately. So if I'm the Ravens, I do kind of look towards free agency to find a replacement for OBJ instead of drafting a wide receiver. But I don't hate the pick, honestly.
All right, next up, we got the 49ers, the runners-up this year. What do you like for the Niners?
Ooh, this one was a tough one for me. Because I don't know where I would go with them. I think if I'm them, obviously you don't need any help with your skill positions. Your DBs are good enough. You have really good linebackers. Your D-line is questionable at best. Your offensive line could use some work, though. So I do think if I'm them, I kind of look to fill to plug in somebody on the offensive line. So it really kind of comes down to Tyler Guyton or Jordan Morgan from Arizona. I think I would feel more comfortable with them if I would go with Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma to kind of, yeah, I'm going Tyler Guyton.
Tyler Guyton. If he was still there at this pick for the Chiefs, I would pick him.
Yeah.
I would definitely pick him. And so now I'm left with, do I go with the pick that everybody seems to want to happen with Xavier Worthy, or do I go best player available with Graham Barton here? I think that's kind of the pick that you're maybe deciding between. They also need to replace Jarius Sneed since they just got rid of him and traded him out. So maybe if one of those DBs falls out, maybe you pick one of them, or maybe you just feel really comfortable with Ennis Rakestraw. I mean, I think he's a big physical corner, and I think this is another guy that's actually going to jump up just because of the run on corner. I'm actually going to go outside of conventional wisdom here. I think even though the Chiefs could potentially be losing Rashee Rice because he's an idiot, I think they're going to go with Ennis Rakestraw and replace that cornerback position. That's what they've been doing, staying young there, and that's what won them really the Super Bowl this year. As Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes were figuring it out, I'm going to go Ennis Rakestraw here to end the first round.
Man, it just feels like everybody's trying to plug in a wide receiver with them.
It's everything that I've seen has always been Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that they did get Hollywood Brown, though. Obviously, I don't think he's the greatest wide receiver in the world, but he's you could easily put him with Patrick Mahomes. He's just another weapon to throw at him. I mean, he's going to be better than anybody that they have in the room right now, other than possibly Rashee Rice, but, you know, that's kind of up in the air. But, I mean, he's going to be better than Kadarius Toney. It is a bump. So, I just the Chiefs could go any direction, and I'd be like, yeah, cool. The Chiefs know what they're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they go offensive line there either. At this point, before the news about Rashee Rice came out and happened, I was pretty much, they're not picking wide receiver. I know everybody wants them to pick Xavier Worthy because they want to make him the next Tyreek Hill and super fast and everything, Pat Mahomes. I don't know, man. I just don't see it. But, man, definitely got harder as we got later. because some of the needs that these late teams had were already filled and not a ton of depth, especially due to the defensive line and edge. There's like no depth in this draft for them, which is really unfortunate. But yeah, that's the mock. So how do we feel? How do we feel after the mock draft, Mason?
I actually feel pretty good about it. Weirdly, I feel like we put together some good picks. I do think it's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens in the middle of the draft, because that's when a couple of the edge defenders went. That's when most of the corners went. And like you were talking about just a second ago, there's a lot of teams that need corners and need edge rushers. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if there was like two or three trades just in the middle of the draft that is going to kind of flip some things around.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're almost an hour and 20 minutes into this thing, Mason. I think this is a great time to call it special edition of Down to the Wire mock draft. I might try and put maybe something on social media of a graphic after the video's out and audio's out for a little bit. So be on the lookout for that. But thank you guys so much for listening or for watching, and we will catch you guys on the next one.